You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Have you ever had really, really good news? Like somebody told you something, and as soon as you heard it, you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is good news. And immediately, you wanted to go and tell every single person you knew because what you realized is the information that you've been given needs to get out. Like other people are going to be so excited about this news as well. So when you heard the information, your immediate response was, I cannot wait to tell everybody I know. And then this line comes, but you can't tell anybody. Like somebody tells you something and then they follow it up with, but you can't tell anybody, right? All of us have had that experience, right? Here's some great news. You're not going to believe it. Everybody you know is going to want to know this, but you can't tell anybody because the news I've just given you, it's time sensitive and it's not public yet. Everybody doesn't need to know about this information yet. So what you have is this information that you want to tell everybody, but you've just been told you can't tell anyone. Well, that's been my life for the past 2 weeks. See, for the past 2 weeks, I've had some information that I wanted to tell every single person I could find, yet I couldn't. And the reality is, as a church staff, really, we've had information for the last 2 weeks that we've known about, but we've not been able to share it with anyone. So this morning, I'm really excited because for the first time, I get to actually share the information. So here's the information. It might not sound as great when I first share it, but then we're going to actually show you here in a little bit, and hopefully you'll get excited about it too. But actually, 2 weeks ago, we went live with a brand new website. Now, we are really excited about this as a staff because we've been working on this thing for a long time. Like, really, before Easter, we've been working on this project to launch a new website. And so I've been working with Nate Cruz a lot. We've been texting, emailing, meeting together. I've just spent a lot of time working on this. So Nate tells me 2 weeks ago, hey, Corey, we just went live with the website. It's up. If you visit hardinbaptist.org, it is the new website. But he says, Corey, you can't tell anybody. I'm like, what? You're telling me the new website that we've been working on for months, that we've been planning for over a year, it just launched, and I can't tell anybody? He says, no, you got to wait for 2 weeks. 2 weeks? I've got to wait 2 weeks to tell this information that I know. He says, yeah, so here's the deal. We're going to do a soft launch, and we're going to let it ride for 2 weeks. That way we can work out the bugs. And then after 2 weeks, we'll do an official launch for the whole church so everybody can know. So for the last 2 weeks, I've had information that I've been wanting to tell everybody, but Nate would not let me tell anyone. So this morning, I just want to say I'm very happy to finally tell you that we've launched a new website, hardinbaptist.org. Please go to it when you get home tonight. Now that's what I've had for the last 2 weeks, but I've not been able to tell anyone about it. And I was very frustrated, but truth be told, don't tell Nate this, but I told quite a few people. Like, I just couldn't keep it in. I'd be like, hey, go to hardinbaptist.org. Call me back. You know, I had to tell people. So we urge you when you get home, check us out, share it, show your friends. There's a lot of information on how you can get connected, our service times, all that fun stuff for us. But you know what? As I think through that, sort of this good news that I had to share, but Nate told me I couldn't. As I was thinking about this sermon that we're going to preach today about being blessed and being commissioned, you know, I really got convicted because here's the reality. See, for me, for the last 2 weeks, I've had small news. I mean, our new website, it's big right now, but it's really small in the scope of eternity. In 20 years, no one's going to remember this website. So I had small news that Nate told me I couldn't tell anyone, but I couldn't do it. I had to tell at least some people. Like, I couldn't let this news just stay with me. And then this week, I was immediately convicted because Jesus has given me not just small news, he's given me the greatest news in the world. And instead of telling me not to tell, Jesus actually told me, go therefore and tell everybody. But so often, I don't. And I just thought about the paradox there. Here's small news that a guy tells me I can't share, but I can't keep it in. And then I have the greatest news in the history of the world, and my risen Lord and Savior tells me to go share it, and yet so often I do not. And you know, I have a feeling I'm probably not the only one who struggles with telling others the greatest news in the world. See, it should be the most natural thing. Just like we get a new website, you just want to tell everybody. You hear a secret, you want to tell everybody. The news of Jesus should be the easiest thing for us to share with all people, yet so often we don't. So what I want to try to do is to help us be better tellers of the good news. So I'm going to pray and invite God to do something in this time, because if I'm left to myself, nothing's going to happen. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to really invade our time, to cause us to be people who want to tell the good news of Jesus as we've been commissioned to do so. So if you'll join me in prayer for just a moment. Father God, we pray during this time, God, we pray that you would come, that you would invade this service, and that you would put a passion and a desire in our hearts to connect our blessings with your mission, that we would be people who lovingly and excitedly tell the good news of Jesus to as many people as possible. So we pray that you do that during this time. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen. So we've been in this series called Blessed to Be a Blessing, and the whole idea is connecting God's blessing to God's mission, right? So we've been starting with a guy named Abram, or Abraham as we know him better, and we've seen three things about Abraham, right? He was called, he was courageous, and he was commissioned. And we've looked at being called and being courageous the last 2 weeks, and so now we're going to focus on being a commission. What does that mean? How do we fulfill our commission as Abram fulfilled his commission? So in order to do that, let's go back to that same text that we've read over and over, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. You've probably got it memorized by now, but we're going to go ahead and stand up and read it for the sake of just the reverence of the Word of God. So let's stand and read the words of our God, and let's see what it really looks like for us to be commissioned people. Here's what the Word of God says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. You guys may be seated. So we'll just kind of really quickly walk through that again, highlighting some key words. What we see in the very beginning, he's going to make him a great nation. Right? He's going to bless him. He's going to make his name great. Right? Those are big things. But what we talked about for the last 2 weeks is there is a so that. And here's the so that. So that what? You'll be a blessing. In other words, the reason God blessed Abram was not just for the sake of Abram. He blessed Abram for the sake of others. And so what we've been talking about is really connecting God's blessing to God's mission. That's sort of the big idea. That's one of the big points. We'll put it on the board. Connecting God's blessing, connecting your blessings to God's mission. That's what we want to do as God's people, right? That's what we've been talking about for really the last 2 weeks, and we'll continue that today. Because here's what I think has happened so often in American Christianity. See, in American Christianity, what we've done a lot of times is divorced God's blessing from God's mission. And what I mean by that is we've been really happy as blessed people. We've thanked God for our blessings. We've celebrated our blessings. We've lived out our blessings. We've loved our blessings. We've petted our blessings. We've kept our blessings. And we've been really excited about our blessings. But we haven't thought through the idea of how do we connect our blessings to fulfill God's mission. In other words, the way that God has blessed me and gifted me and the position I'm in and the influence and the circles that I have and the things that I have, how can I use all of my blessings as a believer, not just to be a happy Christian, but to fulfill the mission that Christ has given me? How do I do that? How do I connect God's blessing to God's mission? See, if we miss that we've been blessed to be a blessing, then we've missed really why God has done what he's done in your life. So one of the big points for this morning is this: God blesses you because he has a mission for you to accomplish. So I really want you to think about it. God has blessed you because he has a mission for you to accomplish. So if you as a believer are not actively pursuing the mission that God has for you to accomplish, then you're missing the reason why he called you out of darkness and into light. You're missing the reason why he's put those people in your life. You're missing the reason why he's blessed you. See, the reason he's done that, he's blessed you because he has a mission for you to accomplish. That's what God wants to do in and through you. And the same was true for Abram. See, Abram had a mission that God wanted him to accomplish. And what God did is he blessed Abram in a mighty way so that Abram would fulfill the mission that God had called him to. So what exactly was the mission that God had called Abram to? We haven't really talked about it specifically. So we're really going to look at that line in the scripture where it says this: in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the mission that God gave Abram. Here's the mission: in you, in the person of Abram, all of the nations in the world, all of the families throughout the cosmos are going to be blessed. That was the mission that God gave to Abram, and he blessed him in order for him to accomplish that great mission that he had given him. Now, the question is that I want to think about is, okay, how did God actually fulfill that mission that he gave to Abram? How did this actually come true? How did all the nations of the earth get fulfilled in the man Abram? So we're gonna go back thousands of years ago, and we're gonna go to the man Abram, and we're gonna ask the question: how is it that God blessed all of the nations of the world through that one man Abram? Now, if you're brand new to Christianity, if you don't really know a lot about the Bible, the big story of God's redemption in Christ, you're kind of new to all of this, this is a perk-up moment. Because what we're going to do is kind of preview, we're going to summarize really God's mission of us, his rescue of us throughout really the whole of Scripture. So, and we're going to see how this promise was fulfilled in Abram: in you, all of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. So it really started with a creation moment, right? Genesis, God creates everything perfect and good. Then there's a fall moment. And the fall was, we as people rejected God as God, and we sought to be gods ourselves. We decided to listen to our own word and our own reason. We sinned against God and brought death and separation. So there's been a creation and a fall, but in the midst of that, in Genesis 3:15, there was a promise. And the promise is this: that the woman is going to give birth to a son, and her offspring is going to crush the serpent's head. Satan, the one who deceived us in the beginning, the one who caused us to fall in the beginning, that Jesus was going to come from the woman, this seed was going to come from the woman that was eventually going to crush Satan's head. So here we're going to kind of follow the timeline of how Abram is going to fit into this big plan. Well, you got Genesis 12. What we find out is that seed that's going to come from the woman, he's going to be in the bloodline of Abram. He's going to be a descendant of Abram. He is going to be a Jew. He's going to be an Israelite. So that's how Abram gets connected into. He's going to be the one who that offspring is going to be born to. So then we just fast forward a little bit to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We find out that this offspring of Abraham is going to be a forever king. And then we find out in Isaiah 7 that this offspring is going to be virgin born, and his very name is going to be Mighty God. The government's going to be on his shoulders. He's going to have all power and authority. And then Isaiah 53, we see that this offspring of Abram is going to be the substitutionary atonement for the sins of the world. So we find that he's going to take our place for our sins. In Daniel 7, we'll see that he is going to be the Son of Man who's going to come with the Ancient of Days. In Micah 5, we see that this seed from Abram is going to be born in Bethlehem. And then in Zechariah 9, we see this seed, this son from Abraham, is going to come in Jerusalem riding on a donkey. So we see that God steps into Abram's life and he says, "In you, all the nations are going to be blessed." And he's talking about a promise that was made centuries before him in a garden of ruin and destruction. But he says, "Abram, I'm going to raise you up, and through you I'm going to send a great, great, great grandson who is going to rescue the world." And then we see really the story of the Bible is giving us more information on who this son is going to be. He's not just going to be a descendant of Abraham. He is going to be God in the flesh who's going to come to redeem his people. And then what we find in Galatians chapter 3, this is in the New Testament. Here's what Paul writes about this particular moment that we've been reading about for the last 2 weeks. "And the scripture," he's talking about Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, "foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abram, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.'" See, Paul, he pulls from Genesis chapter 12, and he said the scriptures, Genesis chapter 12, was actually preaching the gospel when it said, "In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Because the main star there was not Abram. The main star there was Abram's descendant, who is Jesus. So it wasn't just in Abram that all the nations are going to be blessed. It was in Abram's bloodline that all the nations were going to be blessed. It was in his descendant, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled God's rescue mission. And it's in Christ that all of the nations are blessed, because Christ lived the life that all of us couldn't, and he died the death not just for Jews to be saved, but for all people everywhere to be saved through the gospel. So this promise, this fulfillment, finds its fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. So how did God use Abram to bless the nations? He did it by using Abram to bring Jesus into the world. That's how God did it, through Abram, by bringing Jesus into the world. See, God blessed Abram not just so that he would be a blessing. He blessed Abram so that Abram would bring Jesus into the world, so that the world could know Jesus and could be saved through Jesus. Now we just think about just sort of the surrounding passages around Genesis chapter 12. I love when I was in hermeneutics with Dr. Vicker, he kind of pointed this out. I thought it was just so cool what God was doing in Genesis chapter 12. What he noted is that if you go back and you read Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11, what you will see is that God creates and scatters the nations. If you read Genesis chapter 12, you see the descendants of Noah. For the very first time, God starts talking about people groups, not just as families, but as nations. The very first time the word appears, nations, in your Bible is Genesis chapter 10. God starts calling the people nations. It's the nations and the nations and the nations. Then, in the very next chapter, what do you have? The story of the Tower of Babel. All the people are trying to get to God. God does not want that because people don't get to God. God comes down to people. So what God does is he scatters people all over the earth. And how does he scatter them? He scatters them by nations. He literally sends the people out so they will spread all throughout the earth to truly become the nations. So in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11, God creates the nations. And then in Genesis chapter 12, what happens? God introduces his rescue mission for the nations through the person of Abram. So God creates the nations. God's rescue plan for the nations come right after that. And then you have this storyline that rolls on for thousands of years until you get to a moment in Matthew chapter 28 where Jesus, after he's been resurrected from the dead, he has breakfast with the disciples, and then he tells them what? The Great Commission. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. See, what happened in that moment is that promise that God gave to Abram thousands of years earlier had just began to come true. See, in Genesis 10 and 11, God creates the nations. In Genesis chapter 12, God reveals his plan to rescue the nations. And then in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus steps out and he says, now go therefore and accomplish God's rescue mission for the nations. See, Matthew 28, it's not just a standalone Great Commission. It is a Great Commission that has been happening ever since the beginning of creation. And it finds its full culmination where Jesus tells his disciples to go. It's been promised. God built the nation. God scattered the nations. He promised to rescue the nations. And right now, that has begun in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you go forth and make disciples. And then all the disciples went home. Right? They said, wow, Jesus, that's awesome. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. This is such good news. We're so happy to be blessed. Now we're just going to go fish the rest of our lives as blessed people. And we're going to start meeting together as the 11 because we've got real life and abundant life. And we're going to meet together and we're going to pray together and we're going to sing together. And we're just going to come together, the 11, for the rest of our lives and talk about how blessed we've been. This is awesome, Jesus. Thank you for blessing us. Now we're going to go home and live out our blessing for the rest of our life, and we're going to die as blessed people. It's not what happened, is it? The disciples didn't just go home and huddle around as the 11 and say, wow, Jesus, we're so thankful that you blessed us. Now we're going to keep this blessing to ourselves. We're going to just live in it. We're going to love it. We're going to experience it, but we're not going to go, and we're certainly not going to tell anyone else about it. No, they did the direct opposite. What did they do? They went, right? Like the disciples said, okay, this is good news. We're going to go, and we're going to share this with as many people as possible. And if you read the book of Acts, what you see is the disciples going and sharing the good news of Jesus with everybody they come in contact with. They first went to Jerusalem, and they started preaching about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. Then they went to Samaria, right? And they started sharing the gospel. And they went to the Mediterranean. They went to Galatia, Macedonia. And then Paul made it all the way to Rome, as we see in the book of Acts. And then we see just sort of through church history, we see that it didn't just stop there. But we actually see in 51, Paul actually goes to Turkey. In 52 AD, we see that Thomas goes to India with the good news of Jesus Christ. In 174 AD, we see that Christians are found in Austria. So as you see, you have blessed people who are blessing others. They're going out. They're spreading the gospel. They're multiplying. In 280 AD, we find Christians in northern Italy. And by 350 AD, 53% of the Roman Empire had claimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 350 years after his death and resurrection, you see this movement has spread where 53% of the Romans are now claiming Christ as their Lord. And as blessed people, they didn't just stay and huddle, but they went out and they continued to bless others. What we see is in 423, a guy named Patrick goes to Ireland. You probably know him, right? St. Patrick, you wear green on that day. He's blessed, but he said, I'm going to go to the Irish, and I'm going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 596 AD, Augustine goes to England, and 2 years later, after him going to England and beginning to share the gospel, over 10,000 new believers are in England. After 2 years of him taking the gospel to England. We see in 635 AD, Christians go to China. In 740, Irish missionaries go to Iceland. In the 900s, missionaries arrive in Norway. In the 1200s, the Bible is translated in over 20 different languages. In 1498, Christianity has spread all the way to Kenya. After that, we find the Jesuit missionaries. They came to North America to preach to the Indians. In the 1500s, what we find is the Great Reformation brings out in Europe, which leads to the English Puritans. And in the 1700s, the English Puritans migrate to America. And then in the 1800s and the 1900s, we find the Great Awakening, where the gospel begins to spread like wildfire all over America. And then we have the Western expansion that brought the gospel all the way to Hardin, Kentucky. See, what I want you to see this morning is the reason you're here, the reason you know the gospel of Jesus Christ is because blessed people blessing people. In other words, you're here because of them. That's why you're in this place. In other words, the reason you know him is because of them. You didn't just wonder upon this message one day. No, it's been generation after generation after generation who, when they got blessed by the gospel, they didn't go home and huddle, but instead they went out in their workplace, in their communities. They went all over and they told other people about the gospel, and the gospel didn't die, but it got given to the next generation and to the next generation, and it didn't just stay in one location, but it went to other locations and other countries and other parts of the world, and finally it made its way from Jerusalem all the way to Hardin, Kentucky, and you now know the gospel because blessed people who were blessed by the gospel went and tried to bless other people with the gospel. So I want you to kind of feel the weight of this story that you're living in. You are part of that resurrection story. When Christ said, go therefore and make disciples, he was talking about a promise that was made to Abraham, and you, sitting in this congregation, are the fulfillment of that promise. You are the nations. You have been blessed in Abraham because of Jesus Christ, and the news came to you because blessed people got serious about blessing other people. They didn't just let it die. They continued to share it in every way they could. And here's the reality, here's the truth. If it were not for them, you would not know him. I want that to sink in. If it were not for them, you would not know him. So think about the implications for the next generation. Will the next generation be able to say that about you? If it weren't for you, I would not know Jesus. Or are they just not going to know Jesus because we, as a generation, stop this grand story from spreading because we loved our blessings and we hoarded our blessings rather than blessing others. So here's just kind of the big takeaway. It's using your blessings for God's mission. See, I want to continue to further the story. I want to continue to finish that story. We'll put it up. Using your blessings for his mission. That's what I want to do, right? That's who we are. That's what we want to do. That's the whole point of the series of Bless. So if you've been nodding off and snoozing for the last 3 weeks, just wake up and say, okay, I'm supposed to use my blessings for God's mission. Okay, I can do that. You can go back to sleep now and just walk out and do that, okay? Use your blessings for God's mission. Now, here's what I want to show you. What we talked about is Abram. Here's how this got fulfilled in his life. God blessed Abram so that he could bring Jesus into the world. That's not the case for you. God's not blessing you to bring Abram into the world. God's not blessing you to bring Jesus into the world. Jesus has already come. He's already done that. So why has God blessed you? God's blessing you to show Jesus to the world. God blessed Abram to bring Jesus into the world. God has blessed you to show Jesus to the world. That's why he's blessed you. If you're a believer, that's why he's given you salvation, so that you can show the world Jesus Christ. He's already came. He's already accomplished salvation. You just need to show people and tell people that great salvation that you have and that you know about. So I want to kind of walk through what this looks like a little bit. And I thought it'd be better to just start with some flesh and blood. Start with some real people. So I'm just going to give just a few examples of people that I've seen, that I've noticed, who really connect their blessings to God's mission. I'll start with my mom. A lot of you know her as Mimish, especially if you're in the farm. Mom will tell you one of her biggest blessings in her life are her cows. She loves cows. If you talk to my mom for more than 34 seconds, she'll say something about her cows. She loves them. She's been doing this for about 3 or 4 years now. She does show cows now, and she loves going to the barn. She loves showing them. Like, she loves it, and she will say, one of my greatest blessings from the Lord is show cows. But you know what's been really cool about listening to my mom tell the story of her show cows over the last few years? There's never been a time where she's went to a show that I haven't heard a story come back to say, you know what, we were pitted right beside this family, and we got in good conversation with them. They weren't believers, and we got to share the gospel with them. If you go to Mimish's barn, there's hardly ever a time where people aren't coming in and out, and she feels like that's a way that I can bless kids, I can bless families. She's constantly selling and buying cattle, and every person she buys and sells from, there's some connection of, hey, now he's coming to church, or now they're going here, or, you know, I got to share Jesus with them. Or, you know, the farm took a lot longer today because for 3 hours we talked about the gospel and we didn't get really around to the cows. And I can see, you know, Mom has a blessing, but she's using that blessing for the kingdom. And that's what it looks like. It's taking, how's God bless me to do something with it? There's a girl in our church, Heather Todd, probably a lot of you know her. She does photography. And she said, hey, I'd love to take pictures if you ever want me to, you know, be used to taking pictures. I was like, yes. So during VBS, during some time, she's been taking pictures like crazy for our church and for the website. A lot of those things are from her. And about 2 weeks ago, she said, hey, Corey, you know what? God just really, you know, one of my talents is doing pictures and being able to put like graphics and stuff together. So how do you feel if for however long, if I could just take quotes from the sermon and make them look cool and then just post them to social media so that people outside of our church could hear about what's God doing and we could have people connected to the sermon all throughout the week? I'm like, yeah, that would be awesome. And just a little, here some of her things, if you're not on social media, just those are some things that she's kind of put together and she just ran with it. And what Heather said is, okay, God's gifted me in this way. How can I use it to be a blessing to others? It's a real simple connection. I can make words look cool. So I'm going to use that for God's glory, and I'm going to use it so others can see it. You know, I think about, there's a guy named Garland Alford, and he's a businessman. He inherited business from his parents. He's a very successful businessman running his dad's company. And he got involved with missions, started going to Nicaragua. And just a year ago, he actually sold the business, and now he's running Partners in Christ full time. So here's a guy who was gifted in business. He used it to start an organization called Partners in Christ, and now he's actually sold his business, and now he's running this nonprofit, Partners in Christ, this ministry for the rest of his life because God has connected what he's good at to further God's mission to the world. You know, I think about a guy named Chuck Baker, who God has given him a personality that is just, it's just dynamic, and he's used his personality to teach our children for years and years and years in the farm, and it was so cool. In Nicaragua this year, Chuck told me, he said, you know what? Almost every kid here on this mission trip, I got to teach when they were in the elementary grades. So here's a guy who uses personality to teach some kids, and those kids became disciples, and now they're in Nicaragua making disciples. I mean, it's the connection of how has God blessed you, and how can you connect that and do something for his kingdom? How can you use your blessings to be a blessing? So what does that look like for you? I mean, these are people who I think are doing a pretty good job at connecting their blessings to God's mission. But what about you? Really practically, how do you do that? We talk about being blessed to be a blessing. How do we do that? What about your salvation? If you're in Christ, some of you might be saying, well, I'm not very blessed. If you're in Christ, you've been blessed with the gospel. You've got salvation. That's the biggest blessing anyone can ever have. So the question is, what have you done with your salvation? Have you told your story to anyone? Have you told your story to your kids? Have you told your story to your coworkers? Have you told your story to your family? Have you told your story to your friends? Have you told someone, here's what God did in my life? If you've never done that, start there. Connect your salvation blessing to someone else. Tell someone your story. And I've never met a person where if you go up to them and say, hey, can I share with you my story? They say no. Like, they're just going to say yes, just out of politeness. They're going to hear your story. If you phrase it, and then just tell them how God's changed your life. You don't have to make it about getting in. Just tell them how God has changed your life. It's connecting your blessings with God's mission. What about your relationships? Think about all the circles of relationships you have. What about your family? What about your coworkers? What about all the people that you know, the people that you come in contact with? That is a blessing. You've been blessed with relationships. So the question is, have you used those relationships to share Jesus? Have those people that you're in relationship with, have they heard about Christ through you? See, God has put you in circles of people, and I think the reason he's put you in those circles is so that you would be a witness for Christ in that circle of influence. See, he's given you relationships so that you can use those relationships for the gospel. What about your talents? Some of you are crazy talented to build things, and, you know, I think about Alan Haley over here. He's talented to build things, and you have 8 days of hope all the time. They're going and doing what? Using that for the kingdom's sake. When things happen, they go and they build houses with other people in this church and people all around the country to say, we've got a talent that God has given us. How can we use it and leverage it to preach the gospel? I mean, so many of you have so many talents. How can you not just use your talent to build your business or your personal empire? How can you use the talent to leverage it for the gospel's sake? Those are the questions I want us to think through as a church. What about your job? What about your coworkers? How can you influence them for the gospel? What about as a parent? How can you not just try to get your kids to be obedient, but how can you get your kids to see the gospel? How can you use all these little circles and connections and talents? What about your money? What about your stuff? What about the very practical blessings? Has God given you a house? Are you using it to be hospitable? Are you using it to influence others? Maybe you're going to host a small group in it. How can you use some of those blessings God's given you to not just love them, but to use them? How can you take money and actually serve the good of Christ? How can you not just buy more, but actually give more for the sake of the gospel? For the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of being a blessing to bless others. What about something as simple as social media? I mean, so many of us are on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. How can you use those things, not to promote self or sin, but how can you use those things to promote the gospel? How can you use those things to actually be a blessing to others? Here's kind of the truth. Here's the truth of the whole series. You've been blessed to be a blessing. Abram was blessed to bring Jesus into the world. You've been blessed to show Jesus to the world. So how can we do that? That's what I want us to think through, to ponder on this week. How can we connect our blessings? So count your blessings this week. Thank God for them, but then ask Him, how can I use these blessings? How can I leverage these blessings for the sake of Christ? And as blessed people, let's go and be a blessing to the world. I want to close just a little bit different. I want to close with just a prayer time because I just want to pray for us as we try to do this. So this might be a little awkward for some of you, but what I'm going to ask is if you feel like this is something that you really want to say to God, okay, God, I want to be a person who uses my blessings to bless others. I want to do that. I want to try to do that. I want to seek to do that. What I'm going to ask you is, in just a moment, just to raise your hand up and just say, that's me. I want to do that. I want to use my blessings to bless others for the sake of the gospel. And then, as you raise your hands, we're just going to keep our hands up, and I just want to pray over all of you who are just committing to at least think through that process, thinking through how can I use my blessings to bless others. Because I want us to be a church that doesn't just talk about it, we don't just think about it, we actually do it. So, if that's you, if you want to be a person who uses your blessings for God's mission, just raise your hand up and just say, that's me. I want to try that. I want to try to do that. I'm willing to say, I'm going to try. I might not do it perfectly, but I'm going to try. Now just leave your hands up, and I just want to pray for you guys, okay? Let's pray together. Father God, I pray with our hands raised high, God, I pray that as a church family, what we're saying is, God, we've been blessed, and we want to use our blessings to bless others for the sake of the gospel. So, God, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, give us strength to live out your great commission by using our blessings to bless others. So, God, I pray for these individuals. I pray that you give them courage and strength as they've been called and courageous and commissioned to go and preach the gospel to their coworkers, to their children, to their neighbors, to their spouse, to their friends, to the coffee shop, to the bait stores, wherever they go, they would use their blessings to proclaim your mission for the world. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' good name, amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.